I know you're visiting, and that's always good to see. But as you begin to take your seats, that would be great. We have a pretty full morning. We're grateful you're here. We're really honored that each year, this time of year, we have the emphasis on Accessibility Sunday. And it is a special treat to have that today. Let's do our liturgy together. Welcome home. And why are we here? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty and loving God, we are here to worship you, but we're also here to be part of a community. We pray that always the community of faith, the church, the body of Christ might be on the leading edge of acts of compassion and grace and mercy. And certainly this expression today is one of those. So guide us as we share together. Make our hearts open to all that you would communicate to us today. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning. So welcome to worship here at Trinity. Please stand with us as we sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
At this time in the service, we come to our Haju Masters. Nice to see you. We have our Beatitudes for Wholeness, and Robbie Curry and Roger Schofield are going to lead this, and that'll come up on the screen. And Matthew, if Matthew is here, but I don't see Matthew this morning. Is Matthew here? Okay. All right. Well, let's do like we did last service, read the three, okay? And the words will be on the screen, but Robbie, thank you.
But blessed are you, Satan, listen to distort speech, for you help us to know if we persevere, we can be understood. Blessed are you, what with us in public places, nor in the spirit of strangers, for your for in your companionship we find havens of relaxation. And blessed are you who never bid us to hurry up or snatch us from our hands to do them for us, for often we need time rather than help.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you. And Roger.
Blessed are you who stand beside us as we enter new and unattended adventures, for our failures will be outweighed by the times we surprise ourselves anew. Blessed are you who ask for our help. Our greatest need is to be needed. Blessed are you who by all these things assure us that which makes us individuals are not our particular muscles or wounded nervous systems, but God-given self which no infirmity can confine.
Amen, and thanks be to God. Thank you, guys, both. Yeah. Thank you. Now, I'm going to just visit briefly with Robbie and Roger. And Robbie, as we said last service, you've been at this church, what'd you say, nearly 20-some years?
Yeah. I think it's like 28 years.
So you were a young lad when you when you all arrived here, right? Over on 8th Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had a really good high school Sunday school teacher. His name was
Bill Rozelle.
Bill Rozelle. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember your high school graduation, and Bill spoke. And now you also have 2 degrees from a local university. What's the name of that university?
Florida.
And what are your degrees?
I have a bachelor's in journalism and a master's in sports management.
Bachelor in journalism and a master's in sports management.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what did you think of the game yesterday?
I thought it was pretty good.
But you felt
sorry for
Robbie Curry, one of our neat folks. Good to have you here, Robbie. And Roger Schofield. How long you been here, Roger?
About 12 years, I think,
is right,
when we first found this church. I remember vividly coming in here and seeing the candles lit after September 11th.
Oh, and seeing the candles lit after September 11th, right. Were you nervous about coming into this church?
Oh, yes. I was just like, oh, goodness. It's... Is there going to be a place where I can flourish here? And there was.
Yeah. What did you find? I mean, how were the folks?
I found that they are more heartwarming than I can ever imagine.
Mm.
And through that, I've become the last 6 years to help people like myself.
And you've been involved in some things here at Trinity, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Church Council?
Yes, sir. And Alpha and... too many other things to mention. But I've been here and I've been actively involved since 2006.
When you were born, did they think you would live?
No, sir.
Because you had...
Because I was born 3.5 months premature with cerebral palsy, and I was born about 2 pounds.
2 pounds. And you've been defying the odds ever since.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Roger Schofield, would you welcome Roger here? Thanks, Roger. Thank you all. Thank you. And we are honored now at this time for Whit and Ruth Ann Curry to lead us in a litany of wholeness. The response will come up on the screen as Whit leads and Ruth Ann. Whit is the chair of the Department of Family Medicine at UF, and Ruth Ann is a nurse and full-time grandmother, I think. But at any rate, a nice... Oh, yeah, and Robbie, your dog's name is Alistair, right? And Alistair is always working when he's with you, and we're not to pet Alistair, or... Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Whit and Ruth Ann.
Let us pray for all God's people, for people who are blind and cannot see, and for those who can see but are blind to the people around them. Lord, in your mercy, help us touch each other.
For people who move slowly because of accident, illness, or disability, and for those who move too fast to be aware of the world in which they live.
Lord, in your mercy, help us work together. For people who are deaf and cannot hear, and for those who can hear but ignore the cries of others. Lord, in your mercy, help us respond to each other.
For people who learn slowly, for people who learn in different ways, and for people who learn quickly and easily, but often chose ignorance.
Lord, in your mercy, help us grow in your wisdom. For people who have chronic illnesses for which there is no known cure or relief, and for people who live in unholy fear of developing a chronic illness, Lord, in your mercy, help us and heal us.
For families, friends, and caregivers who serve people with disabilities, and for those who feel awkward in their presence.
Lord, in your mercy, help us see each other with your eyes. For people who think they are worthless and beyond your love, and for people who think they don't need your love, Lord, in your mercy, help us accept your love.
For people who feel isolated by their disabilities, and for people who contribute to that sense of isolation,
Lord, in your mercy, change our lives. For all people in your creation, that we may learn to respect each other and learn how to live together in your peace. Lord, in your mercy, bind us together. Amen.
Whit and Ruth Ann, would you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In glory forever. Amen.
Yeah. this time we'd like to welcome Blake Crozier and his parents up for the sacrament of baptism. Come on up.
Hi, Blake. Good to see you. Why don't you step right up there? And do you want to say anything? Blake,
you have a big day coming up tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Your birthday. How old will you be? 13. Oh, man. And this is really important for you to be baptized and to be baptized close to your birthday, wasn't it? Julie, bring me that microphone, would you? Or let me get it. Thanks. Oh, man. Tell us about this picture first.
We're going to Orlando.
Oops. Sorry. Just a second. Let this warm up. You're what?
We're going to Orlando, and we were at my cousin's grandfather's farm, and, like, they had cows, and so I took a picture of a cow, and, like, that's the picture I want it to be because it showed my face really well.
Good for you. I like it. Have you ever... we're going to show a video clip today of a woman named Temple Grandin. T-E-M-P-L-E, Grandin. Have you ever heard of her?
No.
Temple Grandin is a person who grew up autistic. She became this expert in cattle husbandry and teaches at Colorado State University. And the movie is on Netflix, and it is maybe one of the very best movies I've ever seen. But if you get a chance to watch it, I wish you would. And you're going to hear Miss Elise Caton talk a little bit more about it. Now, back to you. You wanted to be baptized, and particularly today. Tell us about your desire to do that, would you?
It was the day before my birthday, so it was like I was turning 13, and so I'm becoming a teen, and I just wanted to be baptized before I did.
I like that. That's perfect, man. So let me ask your parents these questions. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your own Lord and Savior, do you?
Yes, we do.
Do you promise as God gives you grace to lead a life that will be a good example for your son, Blake?
Yes.
And Blake, will you, as you accept Jesus, will you try to follow Jesus as Jesus helped you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks. Glad you added that sir part in there, yeah. Donald Blake Crozier, let me pray over the water. God, we give you thanks for the gift of water and this gift of sacrament of baptism and all that it means that Blake now is standing in this long line of people that go back to Jesus himself, being baptized, being ushered into and greeted into the body of Christ, and feels your embrace of love and the presence of your Holy Spirit in him and around him. Make him strong all his days. Help him always to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Donald Blake Crozier, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you today and always. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for Blake. Bless him and protect him and keep him always in your care. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you welcome Blake Crozier into our family today? Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. We are honored that Robert Nyberger is... Are you still here, Robert? Come on up, Robert, real quick. Many of you remember Robert Nyberger. Robert's been one of many from Trinity to go into the Peace Corps and has just spent the last 2 years in...
Namibia?
I'd never been able to pronounce that quite right, so I'm glad you did it. And what were you doing there, Robert?
I was a math and science teacher at a combined school, grades 1 to grade 10.
I think I read something here that they're cutting back here at UF about Peace Corps office. Do you know anything about that?
The Peace Corps recruiter is no longer with them. Her name was Amy Panikowski, and she was my recruiter, actually.
But people can still...
You can still sign up, yeah.
Okay.
They just don't have a Peace Corps office there anymore.
And it's a... how long have you been sort of awake from Namibia? You just got here yesterday, I think.
I've been in Gainesville less than 24 hours.
Yeah. And how long? You said something about 30 hours.
It's about 30 hours of transit.
Yeah.
So.
And you're going to now do what?
I'm going for a master's in bioengineering.
And one other thing. You were going to thank again the congregational mention.
Yes. last September, there was a mission box opportunity for my school, and you all raised about 18,000 Namibian dollars. I don't know how much that is in U.S.
Not quite that much, but yeah.
Yeah. But it went a long way to buying cement to fix up the school and fix up the walls and buying door locks and different things.
Yeah. And I asked you a question, and I think your answer was right on. What was the most important thing you learned? Is it was too much to...
There's just too many things. You learn so much about yourself and about other people and other cultures.
So you would recommend the experience?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Robert Nyberger. Thank you, Robert. God bless you. Yeah. A couple of other things. After the quilt, after the 11 o'clock service, there's a quilt show over in the display, actually over in the second floor of the education building. I hope you'll have a chance soon, if not today, to go to the second floor. Beautiful, beautiful quilts. They'll be hanging there for 2 or 3 months. But there's a reception right after the 11 o'clock service. And the John Michael Talbot concert is almost here. It's this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Word is getting out. Folks have been coming in all week to the reception desk and through the website. But you can buy your tickets today. Jim Cook's in the back. Don't forget to do that at the end of the service, if you would, or when we stand and greet each other. And now we have a special song by Earl and Karen. Oh, right there? Okay. Are they coming up here, or do you want to use this? So tell us a little bit about this song and whatever else you want to say. Or you can talk about this.
We can do both at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we were trying to decide how Earl would contribute to the service, he's really not much of a public speaker, but he's really into music. So we figured that would be the best way for him to contribute. And he's going to sing his favorite church song with us. And what we really want is full audience participation, because he'd really love to hear you guys sing this song with him. I recruited the Sunlight Band this morning and kind of gave them a quick rundown of the chords. So they're going to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Earl's getting everyone set up here. We do the third verse of this song a little different than you may have normally heard it, so just play along, see if you can catch on. The song is This Little Light of Mine. Earl, you ready? We're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. Here we go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You guys ready? Verse 2. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. 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 It's his favorite. Won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine. 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 Thanks for playing along on that one, guys. He really loves that song.
Introduce the folks.
Oh, sorry. Well, this is Alex. She's one of Earl's friends. Lindsay's sitting in the pews with Earl's mom, Betsy. She's another one. And this is Alan Finney, who's been with Earl for, we're going on 14 years now, I guess. So while I'm up here, I also want to talk about the Friendship Ministry, which is a ministry here at Trinity that focuses on including and welcoming people with varying disabilities into the church and supporting them and their families. Currently, the group is responsible for putting together this Sunday and kind of getting the planning going on that. We also run a respite program for families with children who are in elementary school who have disabilities, and It's called Super Saturdays, and parents can drop their kids off for a few hours on a Saturday and have time to go run errands or go just relax. And two certified ESD teachers and a group of volunteers take care of the kids so the parents know that they can relax, that their kids are being taken care of. The group also has a lot of ideas for expansion, and we really would love some support. If you feel called to volunteer, if this is something you've been thinking about, it would be a great time to join. You can come find me, ask questions. We're hoping to start a young adults group. We're hoping to do a support group for families. So lots of cool ideas, and if you are willing or interested, come see anyone who's spoken today. We can fill you in.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah. Also on the front of your bulletin is, down at the bottom, our email contacts. Sometimes you like to just respond to email. I like doing that. You can do that. But also, some people are going to be at the table in the back after this service. If you'd like to know more, it's really be helpful if you could do that. Also on the front of your bulletin is a wheelchair swing. And the mission box today will go to purchase that swing, maybe roughly $3,000. I don't remember exactly. But we're going to begin to develop the playground over by the pumpkin patch. And one of the first things we hope to put in there is this picture, this swing that you see on the front of your bulletin. And we invite you to contribute to the mission box for that. I think now we're ready. If you would turn to somebody, as you're able, you can stand. Turn to somebody who didn't come to church. But you have two choices. You can say, as Robbie said, I either felt sorry for Steve Spurrier, or that was a heck of a really good game yesterday. Greet the people around you, would you? Never know what's going to happen here at Trinity. Thank you, Sunlight. Please be seated. Wow, I like that. I see Kathy Post here. If you got a chance to look at the paper, her son and daughter-in-law's picture is in the paper today, just their marriage announcement. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the excitement of this service. We thank you that we can lean on each other, and that's what this is about today. And we pray your blessings upon these gifts. For the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen.
When you walk through a
Thank you, Joey. What a great song leading into the title of this service today, and this sermon is No One Walks Alone. And it comes out of the Disability Awareness Group, Friendship Group, of what they wanted to focus on today, what we wanted to focus on today. And the scripture lesson is from, actually it's from Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels. This is Luke 23, verses 26. This is the crucifixion of Jesus. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene. Cyrene, by the way, was a city in northern Africa. Simon was obviously in Jerusalem on pilgrimage for the Passover feast, who was on his way in from the country and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Two other scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13, we've been working in that. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then a wonderful passage from Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. A couple of thoughts I want to share, and I have the joy and the privilege and honor of sharing this Sunday with Elise Caton. Many of you know Elise. Many of you know from her work. She's an occupational therapist, has her own business here in town, and has been a huge help to lots and lots of families whose children either have autism or, well, any number of kind of concerns. And I've been around some of their parents, and they just are so grateful for the ministry that Elise has. So she's going to share some, too. But quickly, for my part, Simon was in the crowd as Jesus was carrying his cross. And Jesus, we don't think of him this way, but Jesus developed a disability, an inability to carry his cross. Almost all of us will develop a disability sometime in our life. It's just a matter of fact. We don't think of Jesus as having a disability, but that's our particular perception. He was unable to carry the cross, so they got Simon. And two things happened to Simon. Simon's life was forever changed. In Mark's Gospel, this same story talks about Simon, the father of Rufus and Alexander. Obviously, Rufus and Alexander were known in Mark's in gospel people. They were leaders in the church. They were the sons of Simon. Simon, through this encounter with Jesus, which happens to us when we have a true encounter with Jesus, doesn't it? We change directions, and Simon changed his direction, became a follower of Jesus, partly because he had this encounter with Jesus, partly because he was able to help Jesus. And it's in our DNA, isn't it, to want to help other people, make a difference. It's just how we're wired. We may submerge that, but I know from lots and lots of you out here that I've had encounters with, one of the greatest joys in your life is getting to help somebody else. And it impacts us. It's dramatic. It's powerful. And as the liturgy said, the Beatitudes, all of us want to be needed, whether we have a disability or not. We want to be needed. We want to help. I'm so excited about the front of the bulletin, this thing that we're going to be doing, this swing for persons with disability. And I think of the good feeling that you will have when you contribute to the missions box, that a child who's never been able to swing before will now be able to swing. As Troy has reminded us in this stewardship emphasis, it is more blessed to give, whether it's financially or a note or aid or a prayer or whatever it is. All of us want to be able to do that. And as Blake was being ready to be baptized, he had that wonderful picture of a cow, and it brought me back to my 4-H days. But this movie that Lisa is going to talk to you a little bit more about, you can get it on Netflix. I had not heard of this woman, but everybody in the Disability Awareness Group had. Temple Grandin. Mark that down in your mind. Temple Grandin. Jan and I got it out of the library. You can get it on Netflix. Claire Danes plays the role of Temple Grandin, who became this amazing person. I was talking to somebody yesterday at the ball game who was into livestock, and she said, yeah, I heard Temple Grandin. It was an amazing experience. She was speaking at a large ranch in South Florida. She's impacted at least half of the cattle facilities in the country. Severely autistic. Didn't know how to read. Wasn't able to speak until she was 4 years old. If you want, watch one movie this year, watch Temple Grandin. But in the movie, There's a phrase. Different, not less. Different, not less. She said, I'm different, but I'm not less. And I want that to be emblazoned on my heart, on my soul, on my being. That's how I approach other people. Whether they agree with me in my views or not. They're different, not less. Our own family journey into the realm of accessibility. You've heard me talk about it before with our daughter Siobhan in 2001 and her accident. And I'll never forget, I'm not pleased about this, I'll never forget that after we realized she was going to survive, but we didn't know what was going to happen if she would ever recover. We went to Brooks Hospital in Jacksonville. I went into the entryway and I saw 7 or 8 or 10 wheelchairs. And I literally recoiled and said, that's not going to be our daughter's life. Like I say, I'm not proud of that. I said, what is that saying about me? That I think she's different, but less? Now I've come to believe that Siobhan and Robbie and Roger and June are different, but more. Every time I'm around Siobhan or get an email, she texted me this morning, good luck, Dad. You're going to need it. No, she didn't say that part. But she could. I think different and more. Courage, sensitivity, compassion, caring. Wow. And then, I think I'm growing in this, and I think we as a church are doing better. We've got picnic tables now that aren't just like regular picnic tables, but one end extends over so a wheelchair can actually roll under into the picnic area. We have actually some swings that children with some disabilities can swing in. We do a number of things. We've got some doors that are opening just right. But when I saw the front of the bulletin, I had two thoughts. Wow, what a great idea. And the other was, what have I been thinking about? Why didn't that ever occur to me before? Did it occur to any of you? Did it? What kind of message are we as a church sending when we have these wonderful playgrounds and children wheel up to them or wheeled up to the playgrounds and everything about that playground shouts, okay, it's great to have you here, but this isn't for you. We're going to change that. It's going to be wonderful. And we're going to start with this wheelchair swing. And moms and dads will come and do what they do every day at the pumpkin patch. They hang out there. They have lunch. They have the kids jump in the bounce house. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it all comes down to our understanding of who God is. What kind of God we worship. Is our God we worship a God who embraces all of humanity and embraces us, or a God who does this? What kind of God do you worship? If you meet certain standards here, but if you don't, this? No, that's not the nature of our God. Our God welcomes all. And once we feel God's embrace around us, the thing we want to do is embrace others with acts of mercy and kindness. That's just the way I believe it works. Yesterday at Francis Lindbergh's funeral, 96 years old, wanted me to read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then I quoted something that somebody sent me an email. After John 3:16, for God so loved the world, comes this line, I am Jesus and I approve this message. It's the only time I've heard that phrase that I've actually believed what they said. That's enough of that. Elise, you come up and talk, would you? How's that for a lead-in?
Oh, there we go. I kind of wish I could carry this around with me everywhere because my voice is so tiny and small. Then maybe somebody could hear me, especially my kids. Anyway, so this is it's become one of my most favorite Sundays of the year. And it's just such an honor to be up here. And you make it so much easier, you know, and I look out and everybody's so nice and warm and smiling and welcoming. Instead of, you know, me doing this, I think, oh, okay, I can do this. So thank you for that. And one thing I was really excited about is when our team decided to talk about Simon. And as I started to look at Simon, and he's mentioned in three of the Gospels, but it's just one verse, you know, and one kind of small detail. And I started wondering, well, what, you know, is that really important in the whole story of what was happening? Why was this detail mentioned? And why, even by name, Simon, you know, Simon from Cyrene, he did this. He carried the cross for Jesus. And so I can imagine just sort of him being pulled out of the crowd and just, you know, you're going to be the one that carries the cross. And, you know, I think in that moment he had, you know, kind of a decision to make. You know, he could carry the cross or he could carry the cross. And so as I'm trying to sort of sort this out in my head, I came across the verse of in Hosea 6:6, and it says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." And I kind of thought, well, sacrifice is a good thing, isn't it? You know, we all have heroes that we adore who had done something, you know, amazing, given of themselves, given their lives, given limbs, given, you know, done some very amazing things to help, you know, others and help others live a better and more fuller life. So I thought, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think that's what God is saying in here. But the nature of sacrifice in some way involves a bit of loss. You know, there is a loss of a life. There's a loss of some sort. And I think what God is trying to tell us is that what He so wants for us first, before a sacrifice is even necessary, what I so want for you is to have mercy or compassion, to have love for each other. And then, you know, is a sacrifice even necessary? You know, most heroes that you talk to when you ask them about a sacrifice, they don't really think of it as a sacrifice. They think of it, you know, as a gift that they gave in a way that, you know, they were just doing the right thing. They were loving and have compassion for someone else. So really, in their mind, they didn't even give a sacrifice. They had compassion and love already. And really our God, you know, is not a God of loss. You know, He's a God of fullness and of love and of blessing. And that's why I think He wants this for us first and foremost. One of the Hebrew words for mercy, and pardon my Hebrew if I'm saying this wrong, but it's chesed. And it has, chesed has three definitions. One being the right conduct towards your neighbors. The other being loyalty to God. And the third kind of means that it means both of those things at the same time. So I think that when we're showing compassion and love and mercy to the people around us, then we're honoring God at the same time. And so that fullness of life is what can happen. And it happens even in little small acts of compassion. It makes, you know, 10-20-fold the fullness of what happens after the fact of just one little act. And so another way to kind of think about this is one book is called Leadership and Self-Deception. And it's not a Christian book, but it has a lot of Christ-like philosophy in it. And one of the main points that they talk about is with every interaction that we have with each other, with another person, is we have a choice. And we can see them as a person who has their own hopes, their own dreams, their own fears, their own struggles, their own potential. Or we can see them as an object. And when we see someone as an object, we think of them, or we're perceiving them more as a problem to solve, an obstacle in the way. We sort of diminish what their needs might be. And at the same time, we start glorifying our sacrifices that we make to help them along. You know, we sort of amplify our own self-worth and our own needs and make it much harder to see the other person's needs. So with every interaction, we have this choice. And I think, Simon had this choice as well when he came upon Jesus and his when he was pulled from the crowd. And he had that choice of carry the cross or carry the cross. So each one of us every single day has the same decision to make, to see each other, one another as a person who has these fears, that has struggles, but that have passion and the same kind of dreams that we all have, where we can see objects all around us. And I think all these little tiny decisions can add up to a life that's of great fullness if we're choosing to see them as people. Or we can have a life of just objects around us and what a sad kind of loss that is. And don't we feel then that's when we're making the sacrifice, is when we feel like we're having a loss instead of, giving that gift of sacrifice. So people with disabilities, just like any and all of us, we all want to be seen as people. We all need love and compassion and mercy from each other. Nobody wants to be seen as an object or treated like an object. And one of the ways that I think this clip of Simple Grandin that we're going to show you in just a minute is kind of a demonstration of how all of those little decisions that we made to see someone as a real person, how they all added up to this lovely, full, wonderful, amazing life. I think we're going to see that in Temple Grandin. And just to give you a little bit of background, she is a real person. She didn't speak till she was 4. She was diagnosed with autism in 1950, where really the only recommendation was to institutionalize. And her mother, thankfully, made the decision, I'm not going to do that. She refused to do that, and she worked really hard to get Temple the help that she needed, the support that she needed. She had to make really tough decisions in, should she send her away to boarding school? Is that the best choice? The daily struggles in and out, and am I dealing with behavior the right way? Whatever decisions there were to make, they weren't easy. And so in this clip that we're about to show you, she's in her 20s now. And this is, like Dan said, this is not Temple herself, but the actress Claire Danes portraying her. And she and her mom are attending probably one of the first autism conferences. And Temple seems to have found, a voice, a need to speak. And in doing so, she is sort of, taking on a new role, going into a new world. And you'll see the little door that appears, that's sort of her symbol for taking on a new role. And it's also the same time that her mom finally hears from Temple herself, the effects of all of the decisions that she had been making, that she was really supporting and helping Temple along the way, even though they were really tough. So I think we're ready for it, and I think you should watch the movie if you can.
Autism is not a psychological problem.
I am not familiar with
the remedy. Calm down, sweetie.
It would be better if you could get her to sit calmly. You're trying to control her.
I think spinning is good, and rolling too. Self-stimulation does seem to eventually calm the nervous system. It can be a way to compensate for not being held. And being held by another person is scary, but rolling or being held by surfaces produces the calming effect that ordinary children get from a hug.
How old's your child?
Well, I don't have children. No, I'm autistic. And I need the sensation of being hugged. And I've developed a machine that I get into and hugs me, and I'm different afterwards. I'm more social. Well, I didn't speak until I was 4. Now I have a BA and a master's, and I'm studying for my doctorate. Most autistic people are very sensitive to sounds and colors. Overstimulation hurts. You know, people talking too much at once, you know, can cause us to panic.
How did you get cured?
Well, I'm not cured. I'll always be autistic. My mother refused to believe that I wouldn't speak. And when I learned to speak, she made me go to school. And in school and at home, manners and rules were really important. They were pounded into me. I was lucky. All these things worked for me. Everyone worked hard to make sure that I was engaged. And they knew I was different, but not less. And I had a gift. I could see the world in a new way. I could see details that other people were blind to. My mother pushed me to become self-sufficient. I worked summers at my aunt's ranch, went to boarding school and college. Those things were uncomfortable for me at first, but they helped me to open doors to new worlds.
Excuse me, please, but we want to hear everything.
Now Temple Grandin is about 65 years old. She did get her PhD in animal science. She's been a professor at Colorado State University for the last 20 years or so. Half of the facilities in the United States that handle cattle are made from her designs, and her designs have made the process much more efficient for better profits for businesses, which also benefits the employees of those businesses. Her designs are safer for cattle handlers. Her designs are much more humane and much more respectful to the cattle because they are led peacefully along through the chutes. And really, at the end of the day, for all of us, it ends up with better beef for us and better leather products for us, too. But Temple didn't get there alone. She had family. She had her mother, who said she's different but not less. She had her aunt. She had handlers. She had a mentor who took the time to understand how her mind worked and kind of unlocked the potential that was there. She had a magazine editor that said, just bring me anything and I'll read it. All of these people were seeing Temple as a person who had hopes and dreams and potential, and along the way struggles that they helped her through. And Jesus didn't get to the cross alone either. There was Simon who was there and saw Jesus beaten and broken and his body disabled. And he carried that cross with compassion. And I think that's why it's so important that his name was specifically put in that verse, that it was Simon that did this. So not one of us walks alone. And every person with a disability needs to be seen as a person with their own hopes, their own dreams, their own fears, their own struggles, their own potential. And it's probably not easy for us to know how to interact. It feels uncomfortable. It might feel awkward, and you don't know what to say or what to do. But that's okay, because they're probably thinking the same thing about you, too, anyway. As long as you're seeing them as a person, it's going to work itself out. So who will you be a Simon to? And what Temple Grandin are you going to help to lift up and just see the blessing flow? And are you ready for this fullness of life that God wants for you? And I hope that you are. And we're so glad that you're here today to hear our message to you. And we love you, and God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow. If you aren't able to get the movie yet, you go to YouTube and type in Temple Grandin, T-E-M-P-L-E, Grandin. Life-changing, life-impacting, great movie, amazing story. And no one walks alone. What we're going to do is, as we've done the last couple Sundays, is invite you to have the benediction. Last prayer blessing has been over the elements, and after we sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit, if you'd like to come and receive, we'd invite you to do that. But if you're not going to do that, would you then leave? No, just stand, as you're able, stand and hold somebody's hand, would you? And then I'm going to invite Elise during Sweet, Sweet Spirit, if you'll go back. And then after that, if you want to come visit Robbie and Roger and maybe Blake, we'd love for you to do that. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.